Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. Pastor Ricky, every time he has to go and wait for leftovers and get the cold plate, he's like, I think tonight I'll go get hot food. Thank you, sir. I don't know how true. Well, I know that he gets a cold plate each time. I don't know if that's why he's going back there for hot food, but that's what I'm thinking. Which brings me my next point. You're dismissed. I'm just joking. Got him. Hallelujah. I was getting ready to preach tonight. I didn't know I was going to preach tonight. This was kind of new to me. But God has told us to be ready in every season. Amen. And so that's what I try to stay, is ready. I try to stay tanked up on the word as much as possible. And when Pastor Ricky asked me if I had anything, I could tell him with full confidence that I did not. However, that I also had full confidence that God would provide the word for today. So I said, yeah, I can do it because the Holy Ghost allows me to do it. So with that, I'm going to pray and then we'll get right after this. Father God, thank you so much for your word today, Lord God. I thank you that it will be effective in reaching hearts, Lord God, and souls, and that we would come away today knowing more than what we came in. We thank you for it. I ask, Lord God, that you would use me, Lord God, as just a vessel. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, so I'm just going to start in Luke 1, verse 5, and I'm going to read this like often I do, fast. Like always. I'll try to make it so I pronounce every single word. I'm going to use my phone because it's easier and I have it in a translation. It's the God's Word. I have it in a translation I can read quickly, but not too quick. And so Luke 1:5 says, when Herod was king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the division of the priests named after Abijah. Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, was a descendant of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth had God's approval. They followed all the Lord's commands and regulations perfectly. Yet they never had any children because Elizabeth could not become pregnant. Both of them were too old to have children. Zechariah was on duty with the division of priests as he served in God's presence. He was chosen by priestly custom to go into the Lord's temple to burn incense. So we know about Zechariah, right? Zechariah and Elizabeth, that's John the Baptist, folks. They were old. I don't know if they were Abraham old, but they were old, beyond childbearing years. Yes. In fact, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah, he was burning incense. So Zechariah's doing his priestly duty. He's burning incense on the altar, or before the altar, I should say. And to the right of the altar stands the angel of the Lord. And he says, hey, yo, Zechariah, check it out, man. He didn't actually talk like that, but he said, you're going to have a baby, and you're going to call him John. And he went on describing everything that John was going to be. All right, we got the story of Zechariah down pretty well. Everybody know? Zechariah, then he goes, shut your mouth. No, he said, really? For real? I'm like old. Same kind of reaction that Abraham and Sarah had when they were told in their old age that they were going to be parents. They're, what? You must be out your mind. But the angel said, oh, so Mr. Doughty, that I don't know if that was his last name, but he was doubting. He said, you're going to be quiet until the end. Because angels know, and God knows, that our words are what are the creators of things in the physical realm. So you plant a word in the spiritual, and you reap what that word has sown in the physical. And so I'm walking around. I turned the beacon on, and I'm not even on it. Thank you. It's sitting there blinking at me, too. So check it out. All right, so now I'm done with Zechariah. Thanks, Zechariah. You're a good guy. Oh, by the way, tonight's message is faith in the story of Jesus as a baby. All right? Amen. And so Zechariah got him. Then we have this little virgin lady, the Mary, who's betrothed to this dude named Joseph. And if that you can find this story in Luke 1, for time's sake, because I've only got 20 minutes left, I'm going to run through this. I promise you everything is from the Bible. If you'd like, I can read it, but addresses aren't necessary. I can tell you the story. So the both of these are Luke 1 and 2, and then Matthew 1 and 2. You'll find all of this in there. So Mary is betrothed to Joseph. And Mary, the angel of the Lord comes and says, what'd he say, right? He's like, hey, lady, you're going to have a baby. Yeah. And she's like, but how? I've never been with a man. And he says, well, the Lord's going to come upon you, and the child that you'll bear will save the nations, right? Yeah. That's paraphrased. Yeah. Yeah. And so she's like, cool, let's do it. There we go, we're on it. Yeah. She agreed to something that, and if you really know the culture of the Israelites, Mary agreed to die for her Savior. Yeah. Do you know that? Yeah. So in all of that, if she was found to be pregnant, Joseph had every right to have her stoned, check this out, buried to her neck in front of her dad's house and stoned to death. Yeah. And they don't do it with one rock. They use pebbles. Yeah. She said, you know what, God? I take it. And she was willing to lay her life down based on that culture to do what God had said. Now, since we're on the subject of what Joseph had a right to do because she was betrothed to them or to him, and he found her to be pregnant before they were married and had known each other, you have a jaded man. No matter how, because how, let's be honest, guys, how are you going to feel about that? Not very good, right?
That's right.
I understand, Mom. Thanks for joining in. So here we have a jaded guy. And God wakes him, stirs him in a dream and says, the child that's with her is holy and is going to be the savior of the nations. Don't worry about it. And Joseph, being an honorable man, put her aside. He did not do what he was allowed to do, what he had every right to do, and what 99.99999 except for Joseph would have done. That takes faith in God, trust in God. The same as that faith that Mary exercised with accepting what God had for her. You can't just do that willy-nilly without believing that God has your best interest in mind. Amen. Now, some other, and so far, Zechariah is not up here, right, and Elizabeth, but we do have Mary and Joseph. We have them covered. But what about these guys on the end? Now, we know that the wise men didn't show up on the night of Jesus' birth, okay? We know that the wise men, they saw a star in the east. And when he was born, they made their way to Jesus. He was in another country from where they were. And so these wise men, the magi, the scholars, whatever translation you read, they make their way to where this star had pointed them. And all they knew was that there was a king born, and they were going to go and worship him. And so, and I taught on this just not that long ago. You got to see, like, scholars, these guys, they were carrying gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Very expensive spices. So you can almost guarantee that it wasn't the three of them taking a trip for years. Some scholars would say, because in all reality, when you do the math in the Bible, it's about 2 years before they even found him. So they traveled, we'll say 18 months. And they, do you know that, I found this out today, did you know they went to the king's place first because that's where they thought the king would have been born? How much, and these are foreigners that are willing to go and drop everything they're doing to worship a king they don't know. That's faith.
Yes.
And as before I get too far ahead of this, there is a piece of every single part of Christianity in the story of Christ's birth. Blindly trusting God to do something that's miraculous, that shouldn't, for one, people are going to ridicule you if they find out.
Yeah.
Sounds a lot like what we do.
Yes, sir.
Being offended and so just overwhelmed and not knowing what to do next and having faith in God and what He said, it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And none of us are Jews. Well, maybe some of us are, but I'm not Jewish. Going after a king that I will, when I die, lay my eyes on him, be able to hug his neck. But until then, I'm going off of what the Spirit of God has told me.
Amen.
I'm having faith in the Word of God, in what He has said, and what He has promised. So here we have this group of people that are each individually shining examples of what true faith is.
Yeah.
A faith in God.
Amen.
But then we got the shepherds.
Yeah.
They're out there. That thing that Wendy Jean brought out, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's nifty.
Yeah.
But they're out there, they're tending the sheep. They're servants of the Lord if they're Levites. They do temple duty. They're the priests. And they're just out in the pasture, watching the sheep, tending them, making sure none of them are stolen. And the heavenly host appears to them and tells them that tonight the King is born. The Savior of all the world has come to you. And this is where the rubber meets the road with Christianity. Immediately they got up. And they went and seen him. And they seen him, they beheld him with their own eyes. And they didn't keep it inside. They said, you know what? The best way to serve our God and to show our faith in God and His Messiah, we're going to tell every single person we come in contact with. That's Christianity. Faith in the unknown. Faith in the uncomfortable. Not being faithful in, like, at uncomfortableness, but knowing that God's going to get you through it. Faith enough to leave everything that you know and you've become so accustomed to and comfortable with, to go out and chase a king. And then faith to go and tell every single person that you come in contact with about that king who has done so much for you.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's easy to sit back and say, well, I can't really name all that many things that God's done for me. He sent his son. If you really look into it, if you look at where you were in January of 2023 and where you are today, you can see the growth. Some people confuse growth like, well, I didn't grow because I didn't got that new car yet and I don't have that house yet. And all you're doing is speaking those words of doubt and negativity into the things that you're believing God for, and then they don't come to pass. And you're wondering why God failed you.
No.
But He didn't.
No, He didn't.
Your words. That's why He shut Zechariah up.
Yes.
He said, oh, the angel knew. He's like, man, we let this guy talk any longer.
Uh-huh.
His words will kill what God has planned.
Yeah.
I can't let him do it. We got to shut him up. Zechariah's lips were loosed, or his tongue was loosened, when he finally did the last thing that God commanded in that. He wrote down, his name is John. And immediately, his lips were loosened. He could speak again. And he didn't sit there and say, man, I've been waiting to tell you guys about all the stuff that's happened since this day. He just started dancing. He started jumping. He started singing. He started thanking God. But where are we in that? What are we doing in that? How are we doing in that? Are we being faithful? Are we really going after the things that God has for us? This is when God was just like showing me these things. Look, every part of the story of Christ's birth has something to do with faith. Every character had to exercise faith in me and in the words that I spoke to them. And we get caught up on if we could have faith to get over a cold. We have all of that. Everything that is illustrated in the birth story of Jesus. Every single part of it, we have all that ability inside of us. We have everything that the Word of God says in us. But we have to get outside of ourselves, if you let me say it that way. We have to put aside that craziness, that doubt, that anger, just like they did. Yeah. And when we do that, whether that's whatever that looks like, this year has been a very interesting year for me. Last year, I changed jobs. Because my job required a knowledge of current events, world events, I listened to world events on a daily. Because I needed to know. It's been so freeing to not have to check the stock market and the news cycle and what's going on. Because that doubt's not pouring into me. Instead, when I get in my car in the morning, I get on my phone, I plug it in so I don't run out of battery. Because I want to be able to do this every day. I was listening to a lot of sermons, but now I just listen to the Bible. Yes. Amen. All the way from home to work. And then work to home if I'm not talking to my dad or one of my boys. And it has helped me in keeping my cool. It has helped me to grow in ways that I really wouldn't have known were available to me. Simply by changing what I'm listening to. Getting out of that familiar. Getting out of that comfort. And just going after, like Pastor Ricky's been saying, going fully after it. Going after the Word of God. Doing what He's called you to do. And being there and having faith in Him and His Word. Faith enough, like I said, to leave the comfort of your own home and drive away for 2 years on camels or whatever they had. Carrying along all your wives. We shouldn't have wives. It's hard enough to go across the state with Heather. Can you imagine? 2 years? Are we there yet? And your kids?
Yeah.
Are we there yet? Where's this king at? Are you really going to give him all the gold? I was hoping for that frankincense for Christmas. Wait, well, whatever. Because it smells good, right? It's like a perfume. But for real, guys, to leave that comfort, to take the risk of being an embarrassment to your family. Think about it. To take the risk of dying. To tell everybody. If you guys could just catch that. I will do whatever it takes to tell everybody about my Lord. I don't care if I'm ridiculed. I don't care if I'm a laughingstock. I don't care if they kill me. Because it's our responsibility to the world, as Christians, it's our responsibility to take Jesus to the dying world.
Amen.
Despite everything. Like Mary brought Jesus to a dying world despite everything. She gave up everything to be the mom. Hallelujah. And at such a young age. How scary. That had to be scary. Had to be. But she had faith in God. Can we have faith in God to do what He says in the Word? To believe Him at His Word? Or are we going to continue to sit back and be observers in this thing? Are we never going to step out in faith and say, "Take, you know what, God, use me."
Yes.
And it doesn't matter what that looks like. Not everybody's going to preach from the pulpit. Some people are going to clean. Some people are going to pray. But will you be bold enough? And will you have enough faith in God and His Word to just say, "God, you know what? Me. I can do that. It doesn't matter what it looks like. My first journey, my first foray into ministry was I wiped down the metal on every one of these chairs. And I greased the doors. You're welcome. They don't creak much." And Pastor Tim came to me and he says, "Clinton, ministry is spelt W-O-R-K.
Amen.
Now, if you love what you're doing, you'll never work a day in your life.
Amen.
I love what I get to do. Whether that's, the fun part is preaching. Not really. The fun part is when I get to hang out with Pastor Ricky and we go and do weird ministry stuff. Because no matter what, even if we're out just goofing around, there's ministry involved.
Amen.
I've learned more in the times where we're in the car than I ever have just being a weirdo driving around. We have a ton of fun, and we do ministry. So, not to pitch it again, but if this is speaking to you, if God is saying there's truth to this, you should look at what you can do. Which I know God is. If you say He's not, that you're retired or whatever, that's not true.
No.
Find where you can serve.
Amen.
And serve. Some of us are like, "Well, I can't lift a ladder." Okay, we'll get you something.
Yeah.
I can't stay bent over. I can't talk publicly. We've established this. But I do. God called me to do it, so I do it.
Amen.
Have the faith of the shepherds. Have the faith of Mary and Joseph and the Magi. of Zechariah. I'm going to finish with one other guy, often overlooked in the whole story in the beginning of Luke. Simeon. Simeon and Anna, the prophetess. Here, I don't know if I misheard it, because I was listening to it on the way home. It said she had been married 70 years and widowed 84. Was that correct? She had to at least be 84 years, because I think even though she was with, well, it doesn't matter. But that lady was old. And Simeon, he was old. He was waiting for this Messiah. And they show up. Oh, and this is another part of Joseph too. Joseph takes Mary and Jesus to the temple. Jesus is not Joseph's son. He has accepted him as son, but that's not his son.
That's right.
And Joseph paid for the law to be fulfilled.
Yes.
He's who had to give the doves or the pigeons. It doesn't say which ones.
Yeah.
'Cause every firstborn boy had to be dedicated to the Lord.
Yeah.
And a sacrifice had to be made to buy the son back. Joseph did that. Then Joseph gave for you. Wow. Hallelujah. But Simeon, Anna, they're there in the temple. And Jesus and Joseph and Mary, they walk in. And Simeon's like, thank you, God, I'm ready to go. He's been waiting. I've seen him. Here he is, held him. Doesn't say he walked away and died, but that's what he did. Thank God. He's like, I'm free. Hallelujah. He had faith to wait.
Amen.
Patient. Not kicking around going, I'm so old. Take me now, Lord. Bring about the end of the world. I'm tired of being here. Nope. He said, show me your son. Show me your Messiah. Show me the Savior of the world, and then I'll go. Look, next time you read the Christmas story, whether that's this weekend or if you're in it right now, look at those people and the faith they had to exercise to do what they did. And mimic it. That's all this is about. It's about learning how to walk this walk. How to walk in faith. How to love our God. And just to trust Him. To lay it all aside. And say, God, I can do that. And if you'll let Him, and if you'll give yourself over to Him, He'll help you the whole way.
Yes, amen.
He'll make a way for you. And gosh, He just, if you guys, oh, if you only knew how good God is. It's amazing.
Amen.
So if you would, please bow your heads and close your eyes. The housekeeping part of this is, do you know Jesus? So I'll invite you. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you've gone so far away from God that you don't know where you'll be if you were to go home tonight, or die tonight. You don't know if you'd be in heaven or hell. Pop your hand up and put it down. I'm just looking around. I want to make sure everybody's on the same page. Everybody knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So if that's you and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, go ahead and give me a hands up. Amen. Amen. Thank you for those hands. Would you repeat this prayer with me? Father God,
I thank you.
For your son, Jesus.
For your son, Jesus.
that you sent him
to save me.
And so now,
I accept
Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
I ask you, Lord,
forgive me of my sins.
Wash me clean as snow.
Lead me all the rest of my life.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Now, if you've had faith in that prayer that you prayed, that you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior,
you don't ever have to be the same again.
Amen.
He comes into your heart. He fills you. And he makes you right with God. Because we are not, it's not us. It's all Jesus.
Amen.
It's all Jesus. I'm going to pray about this having faith. And then we'll dismiss. Father God, thank you so much for the folks that are here tonight. Lord God, those that are watching and those that even couldn't make it. Lord God, we thank you for all of them. Father God, I lift up the congregation now, Lord. Myself included. Lord, that you would continue to give me strength to say, me, God, I can do that. That you would give me boldness and the congregation boldness to go after the things that you would have for us. To go after the things that you would have us to do, Lord God. That you would continuously prepare us and take care of us, Lord God. As we walk this faith walk, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that if we do stumble, that you're right there to help us back up. To dust us off and to set us back on the path, Lord. We praise you, we thank you, we worship you for all that you do. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody that believes says,
Amen.
You are dismissed.